Well, today we are going to carry on in our series called Committed, looking at the mission and the vision that God has given us. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to study today. As many of you know, not yesterday, but a week ago, Saturday, we moved. And you know, if you move, this is a big job, isn't it? As we were packing, as we were getting ready, I couldn't believe the stuff that we had. I mean, it's like it was multiplying. I'd pull stuff out of closets and from under beds. I'm like, I never seen this before in my life. Where does this come from, you know? And so we spent weeks, taking stuff to the dump and selling stuff and giving stuff away and then packing. And we packed box after box after box. And as I was packing the 500th box, I mean, I was just remembering a moving experience that a friend of mine had when he and his family moved. He worked for an oil company in Calgary, and they were relocating him from Calgary down to California. And so they said, as part of that deal, they were going to arrange the move. And so on Friday morning, they were moving on a Friday. On Friday morning, he and his family got up. And they got up in this house. They hadn't packed a single thing. The only thing that they had packed was a suitcase for each of them. And that morning, they walked out of their house to the sidewalk where a taxi picked them up, took them to the airport, and they flew off to 3 days in Disneyland. Huh? Meanwhile, a team of people came into their house and packed up every single thing, put it in boxes, shipped it overnight to California, where another team arrived and took it all out, put all the cutlery back into the cupboards, put all the clothes in there, put all the clothes hanging in the closet. And when they came back from 3 days in Disneyland, they walked into the house all done. As I packed another box, I thought about that. I said, we're not doing that. Instead, what we did is we called a bunch of you. Surprise. We called some friends from our previous church, and we said, hey, can you help us move? And you know how this works, right? When we send out the email and then, you know, it takes time. People have to check their schedule. They have to, you know, talk to their spouses, see if they can do it. So what happened is, like, we sent out, we didn't hear back. So we're like, well, we don't want to just be like three of us, so we should invite some more. And so Newell invited some more, and then I invited some more people, and then Newell thought of some more people. And about 3 days before the move, we started comparing notes because people started responding. And we're like, oh, they're coming. Oh, that's great. Oh, they're... And we started doing the math. We realized we had almost 50 people who said they were coming to help us move. So then I said, oh man, this could get crazy, you know? And in fact, there was others who offered and couldn't make it, and others who said at the last minute they could. We said, oh no, actually, thank you, we're good. And so last Saturday at 9 a.m., about 40 to 45 people descended on our house to help us move. But you know, it wasn't crazy. It was beautiful. I mean, it was awesome, right? There's these people that we have known for years and years and years that came from Burnaby, Vancouver area, some like an hour and a half to move us. Some of them for the fourth time they've helped us move. These guys got a big crown in heaven, right? And others of you that we've only known for a couple of months. And some of you came for the second time already to help us move. And you know, the place was just, everyone had something that they were doing. There was like the Tetris guys right at the back of the truck. They're fitting everything in just right. There was the muscle showed up. I'm like, yeah, the couches are upstairs, right? There were the box carriers and the ladies who cleaned and the bed taker downers and the guys who drove the trucks and then the people who like set the furniture up and the kitchen organizers. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. And you know, we started at 9 in the morning. We were done by noon, unpacked, not unpacked, but in the house by noon. And you know, I thought again about my friend who went to California. You know, I hated packing the boxes, but in many ways, I actually liked how we moved better. Because we're surrounded by this community of people who walked with us and who loved us. And on that morning, as we moved, you know, there's a number of things that happened. Newell and I were blessed so unbelievably. I mean, we just felt loved and cared for and part of what's happening here. And it was so beautiful for us. But we also accomplished the task, this mission to move us, hopefully for the last time ever. I said to Newell, I want to die in this house. I'm not moving again. But we saw relationships being developed again as people served together. And I'm not sure about this last one, but I think that, and I hope, that it also was a testimony to our neighbors. As they watched all these people descend and help, and as we pulled up at the other place, like these cars just one after another, all these people, that they say, I don't know who those people are, but somewhere they're involved with a group of people who love them and who are willing to help them move. It became a bit of a testimony. You see, having a community of people that we're part of, that's a beautiful thing. In fact, God designed us to be together in community. He put that desire in our hearts. And there are all kinds of different communities that you can be involved in, but probably one of the most beautiful and I'd argue the most powerful community that you can be in is a community of people who commit together to follow after Jesus. And see, this is the second part of this vision. We've been talking about the mission and the vision that God has given us. And the second part of this vision is that we be a church that has a strong sense of community, that we are engaged in community. Last week, I introduced for you the mission statement, the vision statement that we have. I want to walk through it with you real quickly again. Here it is. We want to grow more like Christ by embracing him and all that he commands us so that as a community, we will influence our culture with the gospel. So last week, we began by talking about that first part. We want to grow more like Christ by embracing him and all that he commands us. We said, in essence, we want to be connected to Christ. We want to be personally walking with him and having him abide in us and us in him and allowing the power of his life to give us the strength to walk and to follow Jesus the way that he calls us to. And along with that comes some pruning, doesn't it? There's some work that God does in our life to remove the distractions and some of the sin in our world. Our vision begins with Christ and his work in us. But then the second part of that vision is we want to be engaged in community. You see, our vision is not just to be a church where people come on Sunday and take in a great service and then go home, right? Some churches, their vision is to be kind of like a spiritual shopping center where, you know, you come, you get like, I'll take one service and a class and some Sunday school and maybe some information and put it in my cart and take it home. But that's not the vision that we have. We want to be a church that has got strong sense of community, where people come and they are known by others and loved by others and cared for by others and encouraged by others, and where they do the same for someone else. We want to be a place where people belong. And so that's the second part of the vision. That's the part we're going to talk about today. The third part we're going to talk about next week is about influencing culture. But let's talk now a little bit about what does this whole idea of community mean? What does it look like for us? How does it work? Because the people who've been in church for some time, when they begin to think about this, they think in categories. They've been in church. They're like, well, you see, when you're in church, there's like the discipleship ministry. You can be part of this thing where you learn more about Jesus. And then there's the care ministry where you can be involved in caring for people who are in need and helping them out. And then there's the worship ministry. I mean, if you can sing, if you can play an instrument, you're part of that ministry. And then there's like the evangelism. Like if you love to share your faith, you kind of gather together and you're doing that. And then there's like the community. Like if you want to be connected with others, then you're part of this thing. But that's not the biblical picture of what this is about. The idea is that the community becomes the overarching theme in which you do all of these things. Discipleship happens in all kinds of ways, but primarily in the context of community. And so does caring in the context of real relationships. And so does worship. And interestingly enough, even evangelism, even reaching out, happens best in the context of community together. So we want to be a community of people that do these things together. Now, there's all kinds of different ideas that people have about what community should look like, what it feels like, how to define it. And so the best way for us to understand and to think about what community is to go back to the scriptures and to allow them to teach us what community looks like. And so that's why we're going to look here in Acts chapter 2. If you're familiar with the opening chapters of Acts, you know that after Jesus' resurrection, he took the disciples and they went out of town. And there he gave them the command. He said, you wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then he instructed them, and then you take the gospel message to the ends of the earth. And then he ascended into heaven. And so that's what the disciples did. They went back to Jerusalem and they waited until the Holy Spirit fell on them. And then they exploded out. They took the gospel to the world. But in between, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he records just about five verses that describe the kind of community that developed among that church between when the Holy Spirit came and when they blew out into the whole world. And we want to look at that because it's a biblical picture of what genuine community looks like. So, the passage is found Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42 to 47. This is the word of God. And they, that is this first church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So in this passage, Luke describes what genuine, authentic, biblical community looks for. And he says this, that those who were involved in this kind of community, they devoted themselves, he said, really to three things: to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, and then to two more that grouped together, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So let's talk about what those essential things are that make for good Christian community. First of all, he begins this way. He begins by saying they devoted themselves to these things. They committed wholeheartedly to it. We would say they committed to being engaged in community. You see, in our culture, we love the idea of community. I mean, there is something that's so attractive about the idea of being part of a group of people and the warmth and the sense of belonging, right? I mean, every time that I see a Tim Hortons commercial where there's a bunch of kids out on the ice playing hockey, oh man, I want to be part of that. So I run out and buy a coffee because somehow it feels like I'm going to be part of that if I could just, you know, have that coffee, right? But there's this desire, there's just something beautiful about this sense of community. And yet as much as we love it, often we never actually get to experience it. We're not really part of it, and so we never get to know the depth and the breadth and the beauty and the joy, this sense of belonging to a community because we're often not willing to commit. We're not willing to devote ourselves to what is necessary to build that kind of community. We're like, I like the idea, but I don't want to be involved with some of the messiness and some of the inconvenience and some of the hard work that goes into it. And so we dream about it and we long for it, but we don't experience it. And because of that, we miss out on what could be. And sometimes I talk to people who are in the church, they're like, look, I come to church, but I'm not doing community anymore because I tried that once. I mean, I went, I got involved, and it was just not a great experience for me. I didn't like it one bit. I think to myself, well, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I went to a restaurant once and I got poor service and not good food. So I'm never going to go to a restaurant again, right? That doesn't make sense. Bad experience doesn't mean that the concept is bad. It means you need to take another shot at it. And sometimes I talk to others who say, well, look, I just don't really have time for community. I don't really want to make the commitment. I'm a little nervous. Like, what if I don't like it? What if it's not something that works for me? And that's a little bit like going to the fine restaurant time and time again, but only ever ordering mac and cheese. I mean, there's steak on the menu, but you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to use a steak knife instead of a spoon to eat it. Like, it might be too much work for me, right? The community isn't easy. Community isn't perfect. There are challenges that come with being in community, but the benefits, the beauty, the joy, the sense of belonging, the growth that comes into your life when you are connected with a few others on a deep level, it's amazing. But to get there, you have to commit. You have to be devoted like the early church was. You have to be engaged, committed to being engaged in community. Now, what do you need to be devoted to? What do you need to be committed to? Well, Luke writes it here for us. The first thing that you need to be committed to is to sitting under the apostles' teachings. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. Now, obviously the apostles aren't here today. In those days, they could literally go and sit at the apostles' feet and learn from them. But the teachings of the apostles are now recorded for us in the scriptures. And that means that to be part of a community of people who are following Jesus, you need to be committed to learning and understanding and walking in obedience to the very word of God. That's what we do, right? That's why we gather here on a Sunday, to open the word and to understand it and to sit under it. That's what we do in our groups. That's why the mission that we have comes right out of the scriptures. And the vision that we have is based on the foundation of the scriptures. Because you see, a strong community, a solid community, has a clear sense of shared beliefs. They know this is what we believe. This is what we stand for. This is why we exist together. And so, if you want to be part, if we want to be a church that has a strong community, we need to be committed to sitting under the Word of God. And that means committed to regularly coming here. I know, you know, there's all kinds of things. I know people have shift work and they have, holidays and there's all kinds of other things. But as much as you can, you need to say regularly, when we're in town, when we can, we're going to come. We're going to sit together and we're going to sit under the Word of God. Because you see, you need to be part of all that God wants us to know and learn together as a community. So that's the first thing that they devoted themselves to. But then there's a second thing that they devoted themselves, and that's this: they devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, unfortunately, in our culture, the word fellowship has kind of lost its meaning, right? I mean, when we talk about a time of fellowship, that means a cup of coffee, a cookie, and some light conversation with people in the lobby, after church, or before the AGM, or, you know, after a funeral. But I can promise you that that's not what the early church devoted themselves to. They didn't sit around and say, you know, sitting under the apostles' teaching, and we're going to be deeply committed to having coffee and cookies and chit-chatting after service. That's not what they meant by fellowship. The word fellowship is actually a strong word. Sharing something in common, shared, partnership. And that's what the early church committed themselves. They committed themselves to a shared common partnership for the sake of the gospel. So the first thing that they had in common was a common set of beliefs. I mean, they were like, oh no, we share, we understand what our mission is, what our vision is. We are believing this thing together. We're walking in this thing together. But then secondly, they devoted themselves to a common life together, to being engaged in doing life with one another, following Jesus together. You see, fellowship turns out to be an incredibly strong word because it demands a lot from those who commit to it. But for those who commit to fellowship, it's incredibly powerful. For example, it's what Jesus did with the 12 disciples, right? I mean, Jesus didn't invite the 12 disciples to a class. He didn't say, look, you meet me here Monday mornings at 9 a.m. I'll teach you until 3 p.m. Then I'm going home. You go home. We'll meet you here Monday to Friday, 9 to 3. Jesus didn't do classes. He did fellowship. I mean, they did life together. They learned together. They grew together. They struggled together. They celebrated together. They did fellowship. And the apostles, they expanded that idea further. Throughout the scriptures, they sprinkled the text that they've given us with all of these sort of what we call one another's, these verses that describe what it means to live together in community. And they have all these things that they call us to do for one another. It says that we are to accept and bear with and forgive one another. We're to pray for and confess our sins to one another. We're to cheer one another. We're to challenge one another. We're to spur one another on to love and to good deeds. We are to confront one another sometimes and to admonish one another and to warn one another. And we're to bear one another's burdens. And we're to share our possessions with one another and submit to one another. And we're to honor one another. And above all, we're called to love one another. And that command, that comes from Jesus himself. He says, look, when you love one another, then the world will know that you're my disciples. Jesus calls us to be in community together. And there is no better way, there's no better way to grow more like him, to become more like Jesus, than to walk together in community. I mean, you could grow in all kinds of different ways. One of the ways, come and hear a sermon. Come and listen to a podcast by excellent teachers and preachers that are out there. And you should. Those are good ways to learn and to grow. But there's something about being in community that will challenge you in no other way. Because if you're just listening to the sermon, if you're just listening to the podcast, you can rationalize away that stuff. You could be like, well, that's for someone else. Or you could just turn it off and like, yeah, I don't want to listen to that. And there's no one in your world that knows the struggles that you face and the hardship and the things that get you and that is going to walk with you. You know, there is something powerful and beautiful about being together in community with a few others. There's something good about somebody that knows you. They know where you struggle. They know what sets you off and makes you so mad. They know your shortfalls where you trip time and time again. And yet they still love you. And they still point you to Jesus every time. Do you have people like that in your life? Is there somebody in your world that will do that for you? I mean, if your world suddenly implodes, if someone you love deeply dies, if your health suddenly fails on you, if your job somehow disappears, is there people who will be right there and say, it's okay, we're going to walk with you? And if you're headed for the cliff, I mean, if you're headed right over the edge, is there someone who will get in front of you and lie down and stop you? If you're doing something stupid, like you're spending too much time with another woman who isn't your wife. Or you're being an idiot in a relationship. Or when the pressure comes in your world, too often your first response is to go for another beer. Is there someone in your world who will sit down and say, look, brother, sister, I love you. I'm a little nervous about this thing. Can we talk about this? Because I don't think this is a good thing. Do you have someone like that in your life? And is there someone in your life that you're willing to do that for them? Is there someone in your life that you're willing to bear their burden so that when something hard happens in your life, in their life, rather, you're not just like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll pray for you, and on you go. But instead, your heart hurts, and you're willing to sacrifice for them, and you're willing to walk with them through that. Because, you see, that's what fellowship is. That's what the early church devoted themselves to walking with one another. And caring for one another. And pointing one another towards Christ. Now that doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen with everyone. But it should happen for each of us with a few other people. And of course that takes time. And therefore it takes commitment. But if you commit to that kind of fellowship. To developing those kinds of relationships in your world. Walking through some of the messiness so that you get to that strength and that joy in your life. If you do that, it is a beautiful thing. It is profound. It's the second thing that the early church devoted themselves to fellowship. But then here's the third thing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, and then to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Notice he says, the breaking of bread and the prayers. The breaking of bread, of course, is the Lord's Supper, communion. And the prayers isn't just that they devoted themselves to having their own personal prayer life, although there's value in that for sure, but they devoted to coming together to a time when they prayed together, the prayers. In other words, the third thing that they devoted themselves to as a community was to worshiping together. And there's something powerful that happens when we're committed to worshiping together, isn't there? I mean, when we share communion together, you know, sitting in the same pews is somebody who has lived 50, 60, 70 years
Maybe come from another country to this country, immigrated, built a life here, a family here, followed Jesus together. And as they take that bread, and as they drink that cup, they sit right next to a young person who's grown up their whole life in Maple Ridge, has no idea what life before them, but is so excited for it. And we share together in community when we share communion together. And when we worship together, you know, somebody stands and worship who has worshiped Jesus for all of their life. From when they were a little child, they grew up in a home that was deeply committed to following Jesus. They worshiped all their life. They stand beside someone who in the middle of their life, having done all kinds of other things, now for 6 months, join them in worshiping Jesus. There's a community that happens when we do that. And when we receive the offering, the person who has a little part-time job and just gives a little bit out of the grace that God has poured into their life, gives right next to the long-term business person who can give generously out of the goodness of God in their life. You see, when we worship together, there's this beautiful community that develops among us. And that's what the early church devoted themselves to worshiping together. From all their different backgrounds, all their different experiences, all their different walks in life, they came together and said, Jesus is central. This is what this first verse teaches us. The church is meant to be a community. This church is not just about you. In fact, it's not really about you at all. If you're coming to church, you're saying like, well, if the parking is good, and if the worship is the way I like it, and if the preaching is, you know, the way that I want, and if Sunday school works out the way that I want, I promise you, you will never be satisfied here. You'll never understand what God really wants to do, because it's not about you, it's about us together, allowing Christ to work in us and to form and shape us together to fulfill what he wants us to do. But you know, when a church engages in that kind of community, when they're committed, they're like, yes, this is what we're going to do. God does brilliant and beautiful things among them. And that's literally what Luke does now. In the next couple of verses, he just lists, when the church was devoted to these things, then this happened and that happened and this happened. Let me show you. We'll just walk through it quickly. Here's what happens when a church is committed to engaging in community. Verse 43 says this at the beginning of the verse. And awe came upon every soul. Awe came upon every soul. There was something amazing that God was doing among them. Yeah, I don't know about your spiritual life, but mine is like a yo-yo. You know, some days I'm like, oh, Jesus, you're so amazing. You're doing good things in my life. And sometimes I'm like, God, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're doing anything in this world. And the problem is that when we're not involved in community, then the only frame of reference that we have for what Jesus is doing in the world is in our own world. So if it's up, it's like, oh, he's doing good things. And if it's down, it's like, well, I don't know. But when we're in community together, even when it's not going well in my world, man, I see God working in that guy. I know a little bit of the struggles in his life, and I see that God is changing him. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I know about that, you know, that lady in my community group, you know, she's working on these attitudes, and God has been changing her heart. And I know that he's at work in her life. And it would only happen because of that. And I hear about this young person who's given their life to Jesus. And there is in my world, even though it's not always going great, there's this sense of excitement, this sense of awe that God is at work among us. And so I'm like, okay, I'll keep going. That's the first thing. Awe came upon every soul. And secondly, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Now again, there's not apostles walking around our church doing signs and wonders. But the fact of the matter is that if God is at work among us, and if we're walking in community, in unity together, in obedience, then we should expect him to do all kinds of amazing things among us. If God still heals people today, we should pray for that. God still transforms people's lives, and we should expect to see that. God still works in miraculous ways, in hard situations in people's lives. And we should watch for that. There's something amazing that happens when we expect God to work and when we walk in community. It's the next thing that happened. And then after that, here's the next thing that happened. Verse 45. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. You know, when we end up in community together, We begin to care for one another. We begin to look out for one another's needs. In the early church, the way they did it is they sold their stuff and they brought it and they distributed it to all who had need. Now, in the church today, we're not doing that, but we're caring in all kinds of other ways. When Newell and I first got into a community group, we got into a community group with a bunch of young couples. And we did life together and hung out and studied the Bible. And we came to love these people. And we came to, you know, really appreciate them. And then we started doing what all, or not all, but many young couples do. We all started having babies. And so Newell and I, we had a baby, and then another couple, and then another couple. They had this baby, and it was their first baby, and we were a little further down the road. And it was a week and a half until her mom could come from the island to help her. And so everyone in our group said, well, we'll just take turns bringing you supper each day. And at that time, we were attending church in Burnaby, sort of scattered around there, but they were living at UBC. So every day, somebody in our community group would make a dinner, simple dinner, you know, rice, lasagna, casseroles. The Korean couple in our group made a Korean dish, and the Chinese couple made a Chinese dish. And we just drive it across town to their place, drop it off, and drive home. And I mean, it was beautiful to see. The Korean couple lived way out in Coquitlam. It would take them an hour and a half to get food to this couple at UBC. So literally, they drove it halfway to another couple, dropped it off, and they relayed it over to this couple. And another couple, they realized that they were moving. They realized on the day that they were moving, as she was making supper, like, oh, we signed up tonight. And so in the middle of their moving, with the food that she was making for her own family, she packaged it up. They drove the whole family across town, dropped it off, 7 o'clock at night, went to McDonald's at 8 o'clock at night, and returned back to move after that. It was amazing. On the day that it was our turn, we made some supper. We put our little baby in the car seat, drove across town, got to their house. Newell said, you stay here with the baby. Okay. And I'll just go in for a moment. So here I am, squirmy little baby in the back seat. And I'm waiting. And it's like 5 minutes. 15 minutes, 35 minutes, an hour. She comes back. I'm like, where were you? She's like, oh, I went in and they were doing terrible. I mean, they hadn't slept for like 2 days. The baby was just screaming. They were crying. They were so hungry. She said, I gave them the food. They wolfed it down like they hadn't eaten in a week. And she, you know, she went in and she just picked up the baby. She just rocked the baby and chatted with them. And she said, oh, no. This is standard. You're okay. What you're doing is great, and you're going to be okay. And she just chatted for an hour. Well, I watched the baby for an hour. But you know what? It was a profound ministry in their life. It was an unbelievable blessing in their world. And the next week, I mean, he sent us this email, and I won't read all, but he just said this. Just want to send a thanks to our community group for being such a support during one of the hardest times of our lives. We've never known a group that is so caring and so generous as this group, and it meant so much that you took the time out of your busy schedules to help us in our time of need. My wife and I had a pretty rough first week just trying to get some sleep. We were so happy and so exhausted at the same time, and having people bring over food to our house was a lifesaver. I think it was the only food we ate all week. On some of the days, we were able to have leftovers for lunch, and we slept through breakfast. It's a beautiful thing. When community does what community should, come alongside and just care for and love. And it's how it works. Everyone just did their part. It would have been different if Newell and I had to commit every day for a week and a half to make a meal and drive it across town and back for a week and a half. That would have been tough. But because we're part of a community, we just did our part. The other couples did their part. And this couple was cared for and loved in such a beautiful way. That's what happens when we walk together in community. Happened in the church, happens similar for us today. Okay, then there's another thing that Luke records. Here's the fourth thing in verse 46. This is what he says. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. When you're involved in community, when you're committed and engaged in community, there is a gladness and a generosity that flows out of your heart. It says when they went to the temple and when they were in people's homes. There's something beautiful about coming here to worship together. And I'm running into people in the lobby that you know, that are invested in your life, that are aware of what's going on, who love you. I mean, I watch the smiles on people's faces in the lobby when they run into one another. But better yet than the lobby is in people's homes. You know, when you get invited to someone's home, there's a leisureliness there. There's more time to connect and more opportunity to go deeper. And then when you add food, I mean, how could you go wrong with food, right? And you sit there and you visit and you talk and you share and you laugh. You watch a hockey game or play some games or just hang out. And you build that sense of community and that sense of connection. And there's this spirit of generosity. There's this openness that comes when you're invited into people's homes. The question is this: when was the last time you did that? Well, when was the last time that you invited someone over to your place? Maybe someone that you just kind of know a little bit around here, but you like them. They're good people. You're like, oh, we should invite them. Or when was the last time you invited someone that you love? They're good friends. You're like, you know, life is crazy busy, but you should come over. You should be, you know, part of what we're doing. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be so simple. I mean, at New Year's Day, we borrowed a truck from some friends here because we were moving. And if you're moving, why wouldn't you go buy some more furniture to move? So we went and bought some furniture off Craigslist and added it. Sorry to those of you who helped us move extra furniture. But then we phoned them and said, when do you need your truck back? And they said, oh, bring it by the end of the day. Come for supper. And so we just went there for supper. It was simple. It was soup. It was delicious soup. But you know, we just sat that night. We talked and visited. We talked about work and family and church. And it was so good. When it left, I left full. My stomach was full, but my spirit was full. I said to Nuala, that was good for my soul. That was so good for my soul. You know, it doesn't have to be fancy when you have people over, although you can. But you should be intentional about it. You should invite people. You should invest. Because out of that comes a joy, and out of that comes a generosity. It's so good for your soul. You say, oh, that's good for my soul. The question always is this: how do I make those connections? I mean, if I don't already have those connections in my life, how do I do it? Like, you know, in the lobby, it's not easy to be like, yeah, walk up to people you don't know and say, like, hey, you look like nice people. Can we be your friends? Like, it's kind of awkward, right? You know, so how do we develop those kinds of relationships? Well, fact of the matter is, we want to, you know, we at the church, we can't make any of those relationships happen, but we can provide some platforms, some environments for that to happen. One of those is MRBC 101. This is a dinner that we host if you're new. If you're here for the last 6 months or last little while and you're like, yeah, we want to get involved. We want to be part of this. It's just, we tell you a little bit about the church, but it's also a chance to meet others who are new. And the fact is that people who are new are often very interested in meeting other people who are new because there's a chance to connect. It's one of the ways. Another way that you can make connections is by serving. Something about working side by side with people that just help you make a good connection and you can walk with them. A third way, a great way to do, is to join a community group. It's just such a great way. And in fact, I want to invite one of our community group leader couples to come forward. Marty and Michelle, come on forward. And just briefly for a moment, I want to get them to tell you a little bit about their group and what that's like. So, Marty and Michelle, give them a hand. I had to convince them. Here, I'll give you this. So, tell us a little bit about your group. Who's in your group? Not their names, but like, what's your group like?
We have, I think, 14 people that are actively participating in our group. And
hi guys. There's one now.
And it's a really cool group of people. And what I love about our community group is we're such a wide demographic of people. We're all around the same age-ish group, but other than that, we lead very, very different lives from one another. And but we all come together on Tuesday nights, and we meet in different homes. Right now, we're meeting in one home, but that's due to a set of circumstances that is changing very soon. So we'll go back to our rotation of homes. So we meet in different homes every week, and We just come together as a group of believers and share with one another and support one another. It's a really cool thing to be involved in.
It's great. And how does someone get into your group? Could someone get into your group? And if
absolutely,
so?
Absolutely. So we're a large group meeting in relatively small homes. So as long as you are comfortable sitting on a folding chair or squishing on a couch or, we're very close. We sit very close together, sitting on the floor. Our buddy Joanne likes to pull up this weird bench and sit on it when she's at our house all the time. I don't know. But anyway, there's room. There's always room.
It's great. Good. And do you guys connect outside of the group? Like you meet, when you meet, you pray, you study the Bible, you just hang out a little bit. But do you guys meet outside of that?
Yeah, we do. Not all the time. We have little groups that kind of break off and meet for different things. We really support one another. We've helped each other move. We've met for dinner. We've we meet outside for sure. We've helped each other.
Gone to movies.
We've gone to movies together.
Yeah, that's great. And how, I mean, obviously a bunch of different ways, but how's God at work in your group? How's he?
Oh, God is moving so powerfully in our group. I can only speak to our situation personally, but we've been going through for the last 8 months now, we've been going through something really, really difficult. And our group has, our group has come around us and supported us and prayed for us. And it's been amazing the work that God has done and our group has been there through all of it. Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bless you. Yeah. You know, we love what's happening in our community groups, in our Bible study groups, in our micro groups. And we want to encourage you. You know, if you're looking like, I need that community. I want to experience that sense of joy and that walking together. And, you can hear it even in Michelle's voice. She shares how they've come alongside of them. You should join a group. It takes a little courage. You're like, I'm going to go. I'm going to show up in their home and see what it's like. But in fact, it's worth it. And there's this beauty that grows out of that whole thing. See, this is our vision. Our vision is that we want to be a place where people are connected, where they're known, where they're loved, where they're cared for, where new people who come are invited into that. We want to be a place that is engaged in community. And the interesting thing, and with this, I'll end. But the interesting thing is, when you look at the example of the early church, when you look at this passage, when they began to live together in community the way that God did, he did one more incredible thing among them. Look at the last verse. It says, they met in the temple and in their homes and had their food with glad and generous hearts. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. When the early church lived together, when they devoted themselves to being in community together, the fact of the matter is it became incredibly attractive to the world around them. They received favor in the eyes of the world around them. You see, when it comes to sharing our faith, we're all called to share our faith as individuals, and there are opportunities that come our way. But even the most exceptional Christian who's sharing their faith in and of itself isn't necessarily that all by itself, because there are exceptional people who are atheists. There are exceptional people who are part of other religions. And people say, well, you're just an exceptional person. But what atheism can't offer, what other religions don't offer, is the kind of community that happens when Jesus is at the center of it. A community of people where they love one another, where they welcome one another, where they care for one another, not just because of what it does for them, but because of what Christ has done among them. That's an attractive thing. That's a beautiful thing. That's incredibly rare in this world. And the fact of the matter is God uses that to draw others to know him and to follow after him. And that's what happens here. Day by day, God added to their number. And in fact, that's what we're going to talk about next week, about how it is that we impact and influence the culture around us together as a community, walking in faith and obedience to what Christ calls us to. That's next week. But this week, the second part of this vision that God has given us is this, that we need to settle in our hearts. We're going to be committed. We're going to be devoted together to living in community so that God can work among us. So I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. We're going to end. We want to respond in worship. We want to respond in prayer. And so during the song, I'll invite those who are doing prayer to come forward as well. During the song, I want to invite you, if you want to pray, come forward, and they're glad to pray with you about anything that is on your heart, but certainly around this whole area of community and connection. And then we also want to worship our God together and bless His name. So would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You designed us to be in community. That following You isn't a solitary thing only, that it's not just about me and Jesus and no one else, but that rather it's about the privilege of walking in life together, of being cared for and supported with others, and caring and supporting them, and being challenged by them and challenging them. And God, this is our dream. This is our heart, Lord, that this would be a place where people come and are filled with joy, not only because of what You've done in their life, but also because of the others that are caring and walking and pointing others to You through them, the relationships that they have. And so, Father, we pray that You would help us be in community. And Father, where it's hard, may we have strength and a commitment. And where there's joy, Lord, may it just fill our souls. May it give us the joy and the strength to walk after You. God, we bless You for putting us together. We thank You already for Your goodness in our lives. And we look forward to growing more and more in community as we follow after You. We pray this now in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this: "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near." As we go today, may you hold fast to the confession of faith, to the hope that we have in Christ. And as you go, may you walk in the encouragement of being in community. May you spur one another on to love and to good deeds. Have a great day, a great week, and we'll see you next week. God bless you.